Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support.
What should have been a peaceful three-bedroom house in a nice neighborhood turns out to be anything but. One person recounts their terrifying childhood experiences growing up in a haunted house. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, help keep us on the air. Become a supporter, an extra podcast person, EPP as we call them, at ghostpodcast.com. I sign up there. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material and advanced episodes of our show ad-free, as well as patreon.com/realghoststories to become a supporter there, an EPP there. Get all the same bonus material and extras as you would at ghostpodcast.com. So whatever platform you like. Patreon has a nice app to use if you if you're an app person. And so there's benefits. So same content, though. So whatever you like. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
You've got new tea?
I have new tea. And the tea that I have here, it's orange spice, and it's delicious. It looks like Halloween potpourri. The tea itself does. Mm-hmm. It's like the type of stuff that you'd find on top of a carpeted toilet seat in 1994.
See, I thought it looked like black mulch with leaf bits in it.
Mm. Yeah, like that's kind of been rotting for a little while. Mm-hmm. It was really dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the potpourri. Is potpourri ever going to make a comeback?
Maybe. I've seen at some craft fairs recently people selling potpourri. And I don't know. I can say as a kid, I was always tempted to want to eat the dried fruit. But
it really was kind of tempting.
Yeah.
Because it looked good. It was like, especially there'd be like the dried orange pieces.
Yes.
And as an adult, I enjoy dried orange pieces. I will have that as a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think of all these years, I could have been eating it like in my aunt's bathroom, right by the Reader's Digests. But
I wouldn't eat anything in the bathroom. Nothing you find in the bathroom should be eaten. Just a warning.
What if you bring it into the bathroom yourself? Is it an okay place to have a snack? Do you ever snack in the bathroom?
Not typically, no.
No?
No.
I like to bring bowls of food in. Sometimes soups. I enjoy soups in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Typically brothy soups.
That's
not so
gross.
Much of creamy soups, but you know, good bone broth in the bathroom.
That's nasty.
Just making
stuff. I know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I was born and raised in Southern Oregon. I've had experiences my entire life and continue to have them. My earliest memories are of being afraid. These early memories are what I'll share with you today. I don't know how long I saw things and had experiences, as I have no real recollection of life before these memories. Could have been happening since I was born and I just didn't know. I believe that things had happened to me much earlier than I can remember, because I recall already being afraid, just not why I was afraid. We had a small 3-bedroom house in a nice neighborhood. The house was not old and had no history. The rest of my family had nothing happened to them at this house. I don't even recall things happening during the day, although it is possible. Really, my memories of this time in my life are just so completely dominated by what happened at night. I don't remember much else. I was excited because I had just graduated to a real bed, like a big kid. That excitement was tempered with fear. I had a lot of conflict between that desire to grow up and not wanting to be alone. Every night, my mom would tuck me into bed, and on her way out, she would leave my door open just a crack, with a light in the hall on for me. And every night, my door would slowly swing open and the hall light would turn off. A woman with long hair wearing long flowing robes would float into my room and towards my bed. She glowed white. Her skin, her hair, her clothing, everything was white. And the glow made it difficult to see details. I don't remember her facial expression or features, or if she even had a face. There was no feature that stood out about her. Even her eyes were white. She never made a sound, and the house was silent. As she rounded the corner and came fully into my room, her figure would rush to my bed straight for me. This would happen whether I was awake or not. Often it seemed I was asleep, only to wake up as the door opened. Considering nothing ever made any sounds, my door did not creak. There were no bumps or knocks. I don't know what would wake me, but I could not escape her. The first glimpse of her white glow, I would cover my face with my blanket and try to pretend she wasn't there, squeezing my eyes shut so hard they'd ache, breathing heavily and trembling with fright. She never touched me as far as I can recall. I have no memory of what happened after she reached my bedside. I was so afraid it seemed that I would just pass out from fear. I told my parents, who didn't believe any word of it. My father scolded me for telling stories. My mom tried to reassure and comfort me. When I continued to tell them how scared I was, my dad punished me because in his mind, telling stories was the same as lying. I kept it to myself after that. This continued for years. She followed me wherever I went, to relatives' houses, friends' houses, anywhere I was sleeping at night. Wherever I was, she would open doors, even if fully closed, and nothing ever made a sound. No one else ever saw her. And when I say this happened every night, I mean literally every single night for over 6 years. Even though she never physically hurt me, she never made startling noises, she never spoke, I was still terrified of her. Even though I experienced this literally thousands of times, my terror never dulled. It was as scary as the last time it was the first. Looking back, thinking of her, it almost seemed odd that I would have been so completely afraid of this entity. If I were just to describe her appearance to most people, they'd find nothing menacing about her. Was it just young and simply seeing something that I knew was not human enough to cause irrational fear? Perhaps. I don't think so. I stopped seeing the white lady when I was 10. At that time, I began sleepwalking. The first night was my 10th birthday. I had been allowed to pick out a parakeet and cage that day as my big birthday surprise gift. His cage was by a window in the living room. At this time, my dad was on graveyard shift and would often be awake, winding down after work in the early morning hours, watching TV in the living room. That night, I was fully aware of myself when I got out of bed. I believe I was awake. My intention was to get a glass of water from the kitchen. When I got to the living room, I realized I had no control over my own body. As I tried going to the kitchen, which was to the left, I could not. I was walking towards the birdcage while trying to turn around and go to the kitchen. My dad was up watching TV and asked me what I was doing. I tried to say, I don't know, but nothing came out of my mouth. When I got to the birdcage, I turned and unlocked the window. My dad kept asking me what I was doing, and I kept fighting to tell him things, but my mouth wouldn't open. When I opened the window and started opening the birdcage, he told me to stop and go back to bed. I did stop, turned my head, and looked at him. Out of my mouth, in my voice, came something or someone else's words. No. This being required freedom. My dad got off the couch, grabbed me by the arm, and led me to my room. I don't remember anything after that, so I assume I went to bed. The next day, I was scolded for mouthing off and not listening to him the night before. I remember being so relieved to be free of the white woman. Little did I know what the next chapter held. The next time I sleepwalk, I got up to pee. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have been anything but a normal middle-of-the-night potty run if my dad hadn't been in the hallway. He stopped me and asked me why I was up, and I tried to tell him I had to pee. Once again, like the first time, no words would come out of my mouth as I tried to speak. This was the moment I realized that I was not in control of my own body. My dad told me to go back to bed, and again, I tried to tell him I just had to pee. I was yelling the words in my own head, trying to force them out. I didn't even look at him. I just stared at the door to the bathroom and kept trying to walk past him. He held his arm firmly against the wall in front of me. A third time, very angrily, he asked me why I was up. What came out of my mouth was, I'm going to change the water. My dad was confused and again told me to go back to bed. Still unable to say what I was doing, whatever was controlling me said, the water is dirty and must be changed. He seemed to relent at this point, and his arm relaxed enough that I pushed past my dad and went to the bathroom. I remember peeing and going back to bed. This time I was grounded for 2 weeks after arguing with my father about what happened. I tried telling my parents that I had no control over myself these 2 times. My dad would just roll his eyes and increase my grounding time for lying. That summer, I'd been signed up for Girl Scout camp. It was at camp in Southern Oregon Mountains, about an hour and a half from town. Up there, all the Girl Scouts and counselors slept in open-air cabins on cot beds. Things were fine until the third night when I woke up wandering around the woods in the middle of the night. I had no shoes on and my feet were painfully cold. I couldn't see much and didn't know where I was. I began walking slowly, hobbling a bit on my achy feet. I'd step on a rock or a stick and almost fall. It seemed I was out there for hours before I saw a light and walked towards it. It was a light pole by the main dining lodge. I woke the counselor in the first cabin I came to help me find my way back to my cabin. Next night, I woke up sitting on the stump by the lake. I was mostly naked and shivering. This time, I wasn't far from the cabins and quickly found mine and went back to bed. I was starting to become afraid of these experiences, which had previously just been odd, but were now turning dangerous. The night after I got out of my cot bed to go to the bathroom, I never made it to the outhouse, as I was aware, but not in control of my body again. I started going into cabins and staring at the other girls as they slept, silently creeping around, stopping at the foot of each cot for a few seconds before moving to the next. I was screaming in my own head, crying and wailing at myself. Nothing I did to move any part of myself was working. I was starting to panic. After 6 or 7 cabins of just staring at the other girls as they slept, whatever was in control of me decided to sit on the stump seat next to one girl's cot. There's some lost time at this point as I woke up to the counselor shaking my shoulders and asking me why I was in their cabin. After that night, with my wandering about, they moved me to the nurse's building near the main hall to sleep. They locked me in that night. I have no memory of what happened, but I woke up on the floor and had broken a little glass panel in the door. They called my mom, who came and got me. I was in a lot of trouble with my dad after this, as the camp was not inexpensive and I had wasted half of the time that they had paid for. My mom was always supportive of me, but I know she didn't believe me. These experiences haunt me. They're etched into my memory and never fade. Not being able to control my own body was the freakiest thing I have ever experienced. being fully aware of my surroundings, but knowing that something else was with me, inside me, using me. It's chilling. This happened another half dozen times, but each was tame compared to the episode at camp. It stopped after a year or so. Many other things have happened in my life to this day. I still experience things. I'm highly sensitive to energy, spirits, and entities. My early years prepared me, I guess, as I rarely encounter anything that frightens me. Maybe that is the blessing in disguise.
So it sounds like the lady in white went from watching her to controlling her.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought, oh, she's just, you know, she just wants to look after her at night. And that's why she's just kind of a, almost thought maybe like a caring spirit, even though she was terrifying to see.
Mm-hmm.
But when she started using her and making her walk around and watch other girls sleep, that, no, I don't know what's up with that.
Essentially, she kind of became the lady in white.
Yeah.
And started doing her deeds
mm-hmm.
of wandering around and looking at people. That is really creepy.
Yeah.
Wow. I never heard that as like an argument of like a predator case or something. It's like the man creeped into my room at night. It's like, well, the lady in white made me do it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's, yeah, that would be weird. That poor girl, though, because, she, you know, at the end of the, you know, she realized, she looks back on this and realizes what was going on,
mm-hmm.
but had no control over it. And she realizes how weird and creepy that must be. And it's her that was, you know,
yeah.
she was the vessel of doing it. I don't want to say it was her that was doing it.
No, but, something was controlling yeah. her to do it.
But good luck convincing anyone else that that's what's right. going on. Yeah. What's the creepiest experience you've ever had, like, you know, sleeping or in bed or, you know, anything weird that just, you know, just uncomfort, you know, not comforting or uncomfortable. Anything weird? Anything strange?
When I was little, one time I woke up early in the morning and I saw...
Your parents having sex.
No, thank God. I never saw that. No, I saw like this floating mist kind of like above my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I felt like it had a, you know, like there was somebody in it. Not like I couldn't see a face or a person, but I felt like it was somebody.
Okay.
And then it...
That's interesting.
It went through the wall and went into where, you know, my parents' room mm-hmm. was and kept going. And little did I know, after I told them about it, they told me when I was many years older that, like, the next night they saw it too. So I still don't know what it was. It was not at all threatening. It was a white mist, but it still felt like it was... somebody.
Well, that's the interesting part, the fact that you are attributing this to being somebody.
Yeah.
That you picked that much up on it. Because I think I would go, something on fire? Is it foggy in here? Like, is somehow the atmosphere of the fog outside leaching through my ventilation system? I don't think my mind would be going to somebody. But I don't think that that's how that works. It's not like your mind's trying to, it's like you knew. So there's a sensitivity there that you knew that that's somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that sensitivity, then you're like me going, fire, you know?
But I knew that it wasn't bad. In this case, in her story, she knew the lady in white was not good. She was to be feared.
Mm-hmm.
I was not afraid of the missed visitor, whatever it was.
But my biggest question to you in that situation is, how do you explain the 7 dead pets in the neighborhood the next morning that were all lined outside your bedroom window with their heads on sticks?
That did not happen.
I don't know how you attribute that to not being a negative thing or that it was a good thing.
It did not happen.
No, it did happen.
No.
You've told me about this and now you're repressing it and you're not letting it out.
No, it did not happen. Say it with me. It did not happen.
It was like The Walking Dead with the heads on the sticks and they were still barking. That was the weird part. Like, that's just fucked up.
No.
And there's little Jenny. That wasn't a bad spirit. It's a whole new twist on the story.
That didn't happen.
That's the made-for-TV version.
You don't have to embellish my ghost stories just because I have ghost stories and you don't.
You're right. But that's what it would be like if it was as seen on...
As seen on television?
No, I'm...
Made-for-TV?
Based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, we got to make this a little more exciting... That's what they would add in there. heads on sticks.
No, I know it's a pretty boring little story, but it happened.
Yeah. I had a creepy moment earlier today. Wasn't in bed. It was right after I got out of bed, though. So, you know, you're still kind of, you know, a little bit groggy.
Yeah.
I sit there and I'm like, because I just took a shower like late in the day yesterday. So I was like, should I take another shower right now in the morning? And I like to, because it helps wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
But some days I just want to get going to work, you know, mm-hmm. and take my long commute of 12 steps
right.
into this room.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting there and I was at another place where you don't want weird things to be happening, sitting on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, it was the weirdest sound. And I knew like you were just kind of gotten, or were, it was around the time you should have been getting back or so from dropping Harp off to school.
Uh-huh.
And so I know, you know, sometimes I hear you in the other room or the TV, something, you
sure.
know, some sort of noise. But this sounded like it was like right outside the door. And it was the weirdest sound. And it was this, it sounded like yelps, like almost like the sound of like a little, it sounded like a little girl, like kind of crying and like short little yelps, like, just like scared.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that? And I'm thinking like, is there a raccoon or what? And then I heard it, but it was in conjunction with a click.
Mm-hmm.
It was a furnace.
Oh.
Starting up. And I guess I never really caught it, but it took more clicks than it normally does, or the igniter. Mm-hmm. But it was the sound of the fan, the rotating blade that's spinning and it's lighting, and it's just, it's that friction.
Yeah.
Ignition makes a weird fucking noise. And then it goes through all the vents in the house. But for a moment, I'm like, what the hell?
And I've never heard that.
I haven't either. But I knew exactly what it was, because it was in a succinct, like it was three of them. And then I heard, because I heard a couple clicks right before it in the exact same order, click, click, then, and then boom, furnace starts.
Okay.
So I knew it was a furnace. The house is not haunted. I'm not saying it's trying to scare you.
I know that. But I know it's not haunted now.
But it was a moment. You would be like, what the fuck, too? I mean, because it was interesting. Oh, we just got that service not that long ago. I don't think it's anything. I just think I happened to be at the right place in the right time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my disturbing. I don't know that I have one from, well, I do the one story from being in bed where and I've said it many a times. On
yeah.
I need to go into it again, but why not? Let's talk for, no, I'm kidding. It's where the
thing, old hag.
Yeah. Kind of the felt like someone was going through me. It was weird.
Yeah.
And if you care to listen to 1,000 some episodes, you'll find it in 500 of them. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I write about it in the book too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, I'm new. I haven't heard that story. That's in the book too. So that's Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. And the audiobook, EPPs have access to the full audiobook when you become an extra podcast person. That's another perk that you get right there. So if you want to jump to that, it's ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Let's go to the next story. It says, this story is by far the most frightening experience I've ever witnessed. It did not happen at my house as usual. It did, however, happen at a house known to me for being haunted in our city. Me and my friend Chris were well aware. The first occurrence that Chris and I witnessed was in October of 2006. We were raking leaves for the owner of the house, who had gone down to Mexico for the fall and asked us before she left to take care of the house while they were gone. At first, nothing happened. But as we continued, Chris and I both felt like we were being watched. We went into the house to grab a bite to eat when in the doorway it looked distorted in a wispy kind of way. It was also a definite outline of a man. We got freaked, so we left and ate outside. As we ate, we heard the screen door open and close. It had been locked from the inside, and no one else was there besides us. After the door opened, we heard footsteps on the deck. We turned to see nothing but the distorted outline moving towards us. We got up and left. The next day, we continued the raking and finished, but still felt the entity watching us closely. The following year, October of 2007, we were asked to rake again. Of course, Chris, our friend Dirk, said yes, but this time we were prepared. We were to stay the night. We brought a Ouija board, video cameras, and a tape recorder, and blank video cassettes. We wanted to find this being, to see it. We started the raking job as usual, but got too excited to work, so we set up our operations, or HQ. We set up cameras throughout the house, kept one for ourselves. We toured throughout the house when the radio turned on by itself, and the CD started to skip. As the night progressed, we felt as if we're being watched again. We then found something interesting, an old music box. We turned it on with the audio recorded. We played back the audio and heard a woman rambling in an unidentifiable language. We pulled out the Ouija. I hate using them, but I recorded the session. As the Ouija session progressed, we all felt like we were being watched by something. Something scary, as it wanted us out of the house. Eventually, both Dirk and Chris lifted their hands off the Ouija, and it started to move by itself. I then decided to get the audio recorder and listen to the playback of the session. After the session, we listened to the playback and heard laughing. Not any of us, though. And random knocking. By this time, I'm freaked, and I left the house. Chris and Dirk stayed behind and never did tell me what else happened that night.
I just don't agree with, if you don't know what you're doing, going and getting a Ouija board and then trying to record it.
Yeah, it's kids, though, going, I'm going to be a ghost hunter.
I know, but it's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, you should, and I see nothing wrong with being curious and being a kid and, you know, not really knowing what the hell you're doing. But there are certain things where it's like, just don't add that to your mix.
Yeah.
Don't add it to your list of tools that you're going to use in your investigation. I don't know. I mean, I was always cautioned about Ouija boards from a very young age. So I guess it was in my, you know, mindset of no, don't ever use that. But I don't think that's the case with many people. I mean, it's not to their fault. It's just they never heard the cautionary tale of grandma becoming possessed by whatever the daughters brought in with the Ouija board and, you know, going and eating the neighbor's cat. It's, you know, it happens.
Sure.
But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I told you the cautionary tale of the Ouija board, didn't I?
I've heard all the cautionary tales of Ouija boards.
No, the one my mom said. The one I had.
Yeah.
The story that I had. Not my story. And it's not really scary, but it could have been bullshit. It was, not that she made it up, but she had three sisters. So four girls all manipulating each other and the Ouija board. You know, one of them asked what they were going to get from their boyfriend for Christmas, and it spelled ring, and she got a ring.
Yeah.
And so it was attributed to, well, this must be real. So it really wasn't a freaky, like, and then a demon stalked us for the next 5 years type deal. But it was enough to freak her out to not mess with it anymore, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what one of those cases where it's like, oh, well, that worked. You know, it's like, it could have been far worse, you know, sure, to have something like that happen. But I don't know. I tried one once and absolutely nothing happened. Mm. It was a total spur of the moment thing. Mm-hmm. I was in Black River Falls, and it was with my second cousin. We were playing in his room. My mom was visiting, and I played with this kid maybe two or three times in my life when we were kids, because we hardly ever saw each other. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what you got for games or whatnot? Oh, Ouija board. That looks fun. Let's try this. And he's like, it never works. I'm like, let's see.
Yeah.
And absolutely nothing. No luck. Kind of disappointed looking back on that now, because I'm like, I could have had a really good Ouija board story if only something happened.
Yeah. I've never, ever tried one.
No?
No, never had the chance. I didn't know about them till I started doing the show.
Oh,
as far as how dangerous they can be. But
you never had a cautionary tale then that you were living by. You just didn't have the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah, because right before we started doing the show, you wanted to put one in a wreath and hang it on our door.
I thought it would make a cute, creepy Halloween decoration.
It would.
Yeah, but I didn't realize what I was asking. I'm glad you were the one that said you don't want to do that.
Well, now I keep looking back and then I wish I never said that to you, because I think it'd be fine if you did it with like one that hadn't been used before. Just like get a brand new one from the store and put it in there.
I don't know that I want to hang a Ouija board on the front door like, hi, spirits, come on in.
Well, only if you use it.
I don't know. They know what it's for.
But you need the people to be involved. It's the intent of the use. It's not the board itself.
I know that. But it's also a advertisement of, hey, I'm open to talking to spirits.
That's true.
So, and I'm not.
Okay. It's that big sign, that poster that we got that says, I'm open to talking to spirits. not going to keep it. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Mariah. I am from Wisconsin. I have a story for you. It's not, I don't know if it's paranormal, but a nice one. I know you guys get a lot of scary things that go on, but this is kind of nice, so I thought it'd be a change of pace. My best friend growing up, her and I, we were very close from preschool on through high school. So it was a good 14 years that we were very, very close. When we got to be college age, I was in another city for college and we kind of drifted apart. But we still kept in touch. Our parents had ended up becoming good friends. So we still considered each other friends. My senior year of college, my fourth year of college, this best friend's dad unexpectedly passed away. He was in his early 50s. He had some weird symptoms. He went to the doctor. They chalked it up to his diabetes. He ended up having really advanced leukemia and was having a bunch of strokes. He was in 48 hours and he passed away. It was a very, very sad time, for my good friend and her family. Anyway, fast forward a couple months, when I had moved home from college, I was back in the area where they lived and the mom was left at home by herself. And she had two big husky dogs, and I am a huge dog lover and did not have my own dog at the time. So I said I would come over every once in a while and help, you know, walk her dogs, because she was having some knee pain and huskies have a lot of energy and they needed to be able to get out and stuff. So one day after I'd walked the dogs, we were just kind of talking and she showed me, a tattoo she had recently gotten. She loved tattoos, this mom, and she got a monarch butterfly tattoo. She's like, oh, you know, I like to say that, you know, whenever I see a monarch butterfly, that's my late husband, and, you know, it makes me feel better, da 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 da. And I was like, oh, you know, that's really cool, that's really sweet, I love it. We finish our conversation and I walk out the front door to leave, and not even kidding, I had 1 foot out the door, 1 foot in, and a monarch butterfly flew directly into my face and then up at the sky, which was really, really cool. I like to think that was my friend's dad saying thank you for helping take care of his wife and take care of the family, and that he, you know, noticed I was there. So that's my story. I love your guys' podcast. I sound like every other person at the end of these stories. I am nowhere near caught up. I'm still in some 2018 episodes, and it's now late 2019, but I listen to you guys as often as I can. Thanks for listening to my story.
I think it's more than a coincidence.
Do you get to choose what animal you can come back, if you come back, if that's part of it? I'm going to pick a butterfly. So, like, choose your own adventure, or do you just, like, holy shit, I'm a butterfly?
I don't know.
I wonder. Makes you like go, if that's the case, you can pick, you'd want to like look around and go, okay, well, what's the lifespan of all these things? So you're picking one that's like not going to kick it right away too.
Yeah.
You know, or have a good chance of getting swatted, you know, and it's a cool story. As you know, as cool as it would be to be a butterfly, I don't know that I would pick being a butterfly, just because it's like, I don't know. There's so many ways you can get your wings injured and shit, and that doesn't look fun, because once your wing's fucked, you're fucked. And then
leave it to you to worry about what you are going to reincarnate as.
Well, you got to worry about these things. Why would you not be concerned?
Because it's not up to you. It is what it is.
What's what I'm asking?
No,
do you get
I think
to
it,
choose your own adventure?
No, like, I think it is what it is.
Can you upgrade? Like,
right.
What if you just want to stay a caterpillar?
Okay. I don't even know what to say.
I don't know. I think about these things. Because I wonder, it's like, well, how you like him being a butterfly? That'd be really cool to fly around. Mm-hmm. That would be neat. How long do butterflies live?
It depends on the butterfly.
What's the average lifespan?
I don't know. Monarchs can live like a year because they migrate back. Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, all, you know, just what their wings must go through with the wind and shit, mm-hmm. and to go like hundreds and hundreds of miles with migration, mm-hmm. that's amazing. I mean, I'll buy a heavy-duty tarp and put it on the back of my truck if I'm hauling something, and 30 miles down the road, that tarp is ripped to shreds through the wind. But somehow the wings of these butterflies make it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just amazing to me. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Follow us on Instagram at Jenny Brewski and at Tony Brewski. And learn more excitement about our lives. There you go.
There you go.
Just like what? I like to take pictures of the cottage cheese.
You like to take pictures of me eating food, and I hate it.
So follow us at Jenny Brewski and at Tony Brewski on Instagram. Bye.